Loop number 6, 1, 3, 1, 3.
Loop category, spandex.
Loop number 5, 2, 1, 0, 5.
Loop category,
Aznavour Unbound.
Loop number 8, 3, 0, 0, 8.
Loop category, repetitive weirdness.
Now an extract from my genre-busting future jazz show. Good evening, mind slugs and playthings. Sobo speaking. You know, one need only walk down a city street to become aware of the hideous toll of human suffering. Emotional, physical, mental, social, that successful careerists have produced in the course of denying their own humanity. I'm talking about jazz. Computer? Computer, what do you have on jazz in your CPU stack?
I have 8,623 cases that use this strategy. I have 8,623 cases that use this strategy.
Meanwhile, back in the real world. Let's see about that.
Orlopes.
Tribute to Elvis. Hello again, fleshy puppets. Zobo here. The king is dead. Now, if some cataclysm were to erase all knowledge of historical and contemporary events, and the brain children found only a few clues, what would they make of him? The details of the king, whose life seems to come from a bygone age. Born on the afternoon of 8th of January 1935, a surviving twin of very poor parents, yet this hillbilly cat was the first world rock and roll performer of any consequence. And yet dead at only 42. He personified youthful rebellion. Above all, Elvis Presley reached many millions of ordinary men, women, androids, extraterrestrials, etc., who were moved by his unique, manly voice. Power and tenderness, range of expression, uncertainty of feeling imbued with deep sincerity.
4 years, 4 or 5 years from now, rock and roll will be dead. But it's dead now, see. And maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years from now, rock and roll will be dead. But it's dead now, see. And maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years from now, rock and roll will be dead.
Loop number 6, 5, 8, 8, 4. Loop category.
Force 17.
It was a young trucker with a suggestive pelvis who lit the touch paper.
There could have been no better place for his birth than in the deep south of the U.S. of A. For it is there that the two main streams of popular music, black and white, meet.
Loop number 1, 6, 1, 1, 4. Loop category.
Plastic Nouveau.
His importance as a singer extends into other areas. Influenced by blues, Nashville.
Vincent, Buddy Holly, and Snodger Henderson. And for all of you necro-trivia laughs, see if you can spot the song titles I'll be mentioning here and there. A fool such as I.
Loop number
99060.
Loop category.
Quantum variation.
At the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce, Elvis is introduced to the producer of the Beatles, George Martin. And we think it would sound something like this. Rip it up. Duh, 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 duh. There's no room to rumber in a sports car.
Huh. Never thought of it like that. Huh. Never thought of it like that. Huh.
Yes, that's right, Clement. And what are little boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dogs' tails. So let's ask Elvis what he's made of.
Flesh, blood, and bone, I'm all made out of. Flesh, blood, and bone, I'm all made out of. Flesh, blood, and bone, I'm all made out of. Flesh, blood, and bone, I'm all made out of. Flesh, blood, and bone, I'm all made out of.
The evergreen sound of Elvis Presley.
Half hour of loops. More loops. Nothing but the loops.
Now this extract features the head-on collision between Pink Floyd and Alice Cooper. Mixed by an atomic clock.
Everybody,
enjoy.
Everybody loop. Everybody loop. Everybody loop.
Greetings, mind parasites. Zobo Pig Blodwin Beetlebrot speaking to you from the Mobius Strip platform. My, how time flies. So come burrow under the voluminous folds of my flesh. Tempest, fuck it.
Loop number 1, 2, 6, 6, 2. Loop category.
Slow quick time.
Oh yes, my little friends. Time is the fire in which we burn. Chronologically speaking, be like your old buddy Zobo and carry a continuous supply of little 3-minute egg timers.
tried with the Nomad. It's that time again that we have all the time in the world. Zobo's heard it all so many, many times before. The distress signals of the dying mind. There now follows a cautionary tale of what happens when young lovelers are beckoned by the allure of the bright lights of the media industry. Poor Max!
I'd like to be an all-round entertainer. 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 I'd like to be an all-round entertainer.
Well, good luck and thank you, Miss Romaine Dupree. And you'll remember that one of the girls appearing this evening will become Miss Goldilocks. Her prizes will include 1 year's supply of McLaughlin's frozen porridge, a mini moke, a kilt in the tartan of her choice, £1,000 in cash, and the dream holiday of a lifetime for two, a Tossa Del Mar in Rabjohn's Holiday Huts. My word. Who's going to be the lucky girl? Will it be one of the lovers you've met already? Or the next contestant whose photo was sent in by one of you frozen porridge lovers of Britain?
But what about the kiddies? When a mother can compress the process of birth into a brief visit to an embryo emporium. when by transferring embryos from womb to womb, we can destroy even the ancient certainty. The childbearing took 9 months. And children will grow up into a world in which the family cycle, once so smooth and sure, will be jerkily arrhythmic.
Loop number 00999. Loop category.
Simeon.
Radio.
Auch am Nachmittag muss noch mit Schauern oder gerechnet werden.
Auf UKW 99,3 und auf Mittelwelle 1575 Kilohertz.
Sie machen auch unterschiedliche Töne.
Radiorevolten.net.
Pierre Henry with Psych Rock, the track that inspired the Futurama theme song on television.
We'll be right back. action. The more I see, the more I do. Baby. Ride, white line highway, tell all your friends they can go my way, pay your toll, sell your soul, pound for pound, cost more than gold, the longer you stay, the more you pay, my white lines go a long way, either up your nose or through your vein, with nothing to gain except killing your brain.
Was White Lines from Grandmaster Flash, and before that, the song that's it sampled, Liquid Liquid's Cavern.
Where are you going? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald.
Drunk.
Theater. No one knows what is up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make-believe in Donald.
Drunk.
Theater. So let's
pull the curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is,
I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth. Someone's got it in for me. They're planting stories in their friends.
Whoever it is, I wish they cut it out quick. But when they will, I can only guess. Been almost 2 weeks since Trump's attorney general released a memo in special counsel Robert Mueller's final report. The memo said Mueller had not established a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia, but it also said Mueller had not exonerated Trump of obstruction of justice. So it was a mixed bag. But Trump has declared himself victorious and even threatened last week to keep the full report hidden from the public.
The president, the same president who over the past week has said he's for the full release of the report, wrote this. The problem is, no matter what the radical left Democrats get, no matter what we give them, it will never be enough. Just watch. They will harass and complain and resist the theme of their movement. So maybe we should just take our victory and say, no, we've got a country to run.
Okay, first of all, you don't have a country to run because you don't run it. You outsource it to your collection of weirdos while you go golfing with Kid Rock. In fact, despite proclaiming falsely that he's been exonerated, some officials even within the White House are anxious that the president is getting ahead of himself before the full report comes out. One senior White House official said, there will be plenty of unfavorable things about the president in the full report, which we think will eventually come out. So let's not go overboard saying there's no wrongdoing. Let's move on. Yeah, of course there will be damning things in the report because we know publicly is damning. Mueller's report could literally just be a bunch of news articles about Trump stapled together with a cover sheet that says, remember this stuff? And while Trump himself wants to declare victory and move on, he also seems stuck on his obsession with how Mueller's investigation got started. The answer to that is simple. The FBI was investigating his ties to Russia, and then he fired the guy in charge of that investigation. And because his Republican attorney general had recused himself, his Republican deputy attorney general appointed Robert Mueller. But Trump still wants someone to look into what he called, or what he tried to call, the origins of the report. But he had some trouble saying the word.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation, the beginnings of that investigation. You look at the origin of the investigation. The Mueller report, I wish, covered the oranges, how it started.
Yeah. Hey, Mom. Mom, I'm worried about Grandpa. Yeah. Yeah, oranges. Why does he keep saying oranges? Is he hungry, or is that always how he says it? Did you see Captain Marvel? It's pretty good for an oranges story. So it's been almost 2 weeks since Mueller's report was delivered, and in that time, the question on everyone's mind has been, how would Trump respond? Would this strengthen him politically? What message would he focus on? And now we have the answer. As we learned at a rally last week, and again at a speech last night, Trump has decided to spend the rest of his presidency doing impressions of windmills.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills. Whing. Hillary wanted to put up wind. If you have a windmill anywhere near your house, congratulations. Your house just went down 75% in value. And they say the noise causes cancer. You tell me that one, okay?
It's a one. many questions. First, the idea that noise from windmills causes cancer is insane, but second, why does his impression keep changing? You know, cats, they're either like meow or woof, 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 woof.
Wind power may be an answer to global warming. But at what cost? It's all around us. But what do we really know about this invisible gas that abducts girls from Kansas? Wind ruins our parades, and it attacks our president. Wind, it blows.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Windmills, they're not just a challenging obstacle on the putt-putt course. No, they're also Trump's arch enemy. They're part of his origin story. You know, like a superhero whose parents were killed by a very slowly moving fan. And Trump doesn't just hate windmills like a Jehovah's Witness. No, he's going door to door to try and get everyone else to hate them too. And he's got all kinds of reasons, starting with the danger that they pose to America's most precious resource, television.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills. And if it doesn't blow, you can forget about television for that night. Darling, I want to watch television. I'm sorry. The wind isn't blowing. I know a lot about wind.
I know a lot. Like, we all know the same amount about wind. What do you need to know about wind? You can use it to fly a kite. Sometimes it screws up your umbrella. And if it goes in a circle, it's a tornado. That's it. We're done. I like that instead of talking about the effects of a power outage on things like hospitals or airports, the worst case scenario Trump could think of was no TV. Like, TV is so important to Trump, he probably listed as his emergency contact. If anything happens to me, turn to Channel 7, please. And also, does Trump not know what a battery is? Huh? Because you realize a wind turbine doesn't plug directly into your TV, okay? He makes it seem like the faster the windmill goes, the faster your TV slows on, you know? It's like the show's on TV playing faster and faster on a windy day. It's just like on the news today, the people of the day, somebody gonna get somebody bazinga. Oh, and according to Trump, the danger windmills pose to television is nothing compared to what it does to nature's airplanes, the birds.
The wind kills all your birds. All your birds killed.
They kill so many birds. You look underneath some of those windmills, it's like a killing field of birds.
In California, if you kill a bald eagle, they put you in jail for 5 years. And yet the windmills knock them out like flies. It's crazy. What about the thousands of birds they're killing? Try going to the bottom of a windmill someday. It's not a pretty picture.
How many windmills does this guy visit? And why is he always going to the base of them? Driver, stop the car. I want to count the dead birds. Now, to be fair to Trump, right, windmills do kill birds, right? And some people are legitimately concerned about it. But I don't think Donald Trump is one of those people. Like, Trump doesn't really care about the welfare of birds. In fact, to me, it looks like he's on a mission to wipe out the entire species on his own. Let's say you don't care about TV or birds or getting fake cancer. You may want to pay attention to this, because windmills are also a threat to America's national security.
We love clean, beautiful West Virginia coal. We love it. Right.
And you know, that's indestructible stuff. In times of war, in times of conflict, you can blow up those windmills. They fall down real quick.
You can blow up the windmills, you know, the windmills. Boom, boom, boom. Bing, that's the end of that windmill.
Don't build windmills because they can be blown up during war. Yeah, so can everything else. Every power source can be blown up during a war. Yeah, in fact, a blown up windmill probably has the least fallout. With oil, you have spills. With nuclear power, you have radiation. If you bomb a windmill, what's the worst that happens, huh? It's just gonna fall on a pile of dead birds. That's it. So clearly, Donald Quixote over here is in a war with windmills. The question is, why? Well, we did some digging, and it turns out the beef started almost a decade ago.
Trump is an outspoken critic of wind farms and opposes a planned development of turbines just offshore from his golf course in northeast Scotland. Trump told lawmakers he supports other forms of green energy, but wind turbines are ugly, noisy, and dangerous.
Wind turbines made in China are going to be the destruction and almost a total destruction of your tourism industry.
They want to build thousands of windmills in the waters that surround the most beautiful shoreline probably anywhere in the world. It has to be stopped. Scotland has a group of leaders, one in particular, who just is foistering them on the people, and it's really, really sad.
Of course. It all makes sense now. It was never really about birds or television. It was always about golf. Yeah. And by the way, Trump is wrong on two counts. Experts say that windmills near a golf course don't destroy tourism, and experts also say that foistering is not a word. But this is great news. This is great news. We understand it, right? He hates the windmills because they block his view of his golf course. But now we understand what Trump's motivating force is, right? Golf courses. That's the one thing he will do anything to protect. And now that we know this, we can use it to solve the world's problems. Like Puerto Rico. If you want Trump to stop blocking your hurricane funding, just turn your island into a giant golf club, and the money will come flying in like no, no, no.
Riff on cancer-causing windmills was only the beginning. He also told the Republicans in attendance they should be more careful about voter fraud, which is non-existent. In fact, the most prominent case of election fraud in 2018 was committed by a Republican in North Carolina, but Trump kept insisting that something was going on.
We're going to watch those vote tallies. You know, I keep hearing about the election and the various counting measures that they have. There were a lot of close elections that were... They seemed to, every single one of them went Democrat. If it was close, they say the Democrat, well, there's something going on, fella. You got to be a little bit more paranoid than you are, okay?
More paranoid? You already think windmills are causing cancer. The only way you could be more paranoid is if you thought the windmills were committing voter fraud.
The windmills, they're wearing disguises and they're voting, folks. Oh, they're voting. I saw one in a polling booth, big hat, mustache.
Trump also expressed concern in that same speech that his remarks would get out to the press Trump was talking about something incomprehensible that's honestly not even worth explaining. The important part is the end of the clip.
They put names in, you pick a name. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce so-and-so. I don't want to use names because I'll get in trouble because it's always somebody's going to leak this whole damn speech to the media.
Leak it to the media? You're on TV. Do you not see the cameras? Do you not see the cameras? I can't believe I have to say, you should be more paranoid. You're the president of the United States, and you're on television. We can all see you. You're like a guy live streaming himself on Facebook, screaming, I'm being watched. I mean, I'm worried. I'm worried somebody's going to leak this, and he's going to see it. In fact, Trump was so afraid to use names that when he went after Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who proposed the Green New Deal, he referred to her by her previous job instead of her current one.
The Green New Deal, done by a young bartender, 29 years old. A young bartender.
All right. First of all, she's a member of Congress, and her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We call you Mr. President, not crazy windmill cancer guy.
There's been a huge spike in illegal immigration since Trump took office, and he looks like an idiot. So, he's mad. He's hopping mad. During a recent meeting about immigration with top officials, Trump was ranting and raving, saying border security was his issue. Sir, don't sell yourself short. You have tons of issues. Commitment, trust, daddy. So Trump is making changes now, okay? A lot of them.
President Trump continued his streak by firing the head of the Secret Service. Yeah. Plus, get this, to add actual insult to injury, it also came out that Trump has secretly been calling this guy Dumbo because of his giant ears. Yeah. Which you gotta admit is super gangster, right? I mean, for two reasons. One, this is the person protecting your life. And secondly, normally the Secret Service has code names for the president, but this is a president who has code names for his Secret Service. But that wasn't even the most prominent firing of the past 24 hours, because the news rocking the headlines has been this.
Overnight, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen forced out of the administration. Tensions between Nielsen and President Trump have been simmering for months, but reached a boiling point after the president's furious response to the recent surge in migrant crossings at the southern border. Just hours after a face-to-face meeting with the president on Sunday, Nielsen submitted her resignation.
Oh, well, look at that. Kirstjen Nielsen, the woman responsible for Trump's border enforcement, has been deported out of the White House.
And there are reports that he'll soon fire the DHS Undersecretary for Management, the DHS General Counsel, and the head of immigration. It is going to be tough to find people to fill those positions. If only there was a group of folks willing to do jobs Americans don't want to do. But this afternoon, at an Oval Office photo op with the president of Egypt, Trump denied he's doing the things that he's already started doing.
Jeff, you seem to be cleaning house at DHS. What would you like to achieve with the new leadership?
Well, I never said I'm cleaning house. I don't know who came up with that.
I'm not cleaning house. No, I am bulldozing the house straight into the Potomac, okay?
Then the meeting was over. Until Trump took it into overtime.
Obama separated the children, by the way. Just so you understand, President Obama separated the children. Those cages that were shown, I think they were very inappropriate. They were built by President Obama's administration, not by Trump. I'm the one that stopped it. President Obama had child separation. President Obama separated children. They had child separation. I was the one that changed it.
No, you didn't. Obama didn't have a family separation policy. Remember, it was announced as a change of policy by Jeff Sessions. He called it zero tolerance, as in your feelings toward Mexicans. It was the brainchild of Stephen Miller and John Kelly. You told Kirstjen Nielsen to implement it, and now she'll be scraping that hot black tar off her soul for the rest of eternity. It didn't stop people from coming. It was a monstrous act of cruelty and ruled unconstitutional by a federal judge. But for some reason, you are now pushing to reinstate broader family separation policies, and today you publicly defended it in the same meeting where you claimed it was all Obama's fault.
I'll tell you something. Once you don't have it, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, because let's go to Disneyland.
True, true. No, you hear that all the time with these migrant families. My kids love not being terrorized by a narco syndicate, but my favorite part has got to be the teacups.
But the crazy thing is that even though people on the left consider her cruel and inhumane, President Trump thought she was too soft.
A person close to Nielsen says she's been on thin ice with the administration, often clashing with President Trump, who has accused her of not doing enough to stem the tide of undocumented immigrants.
She was always in a tough position, seen as too tough on immigration on Capitol Hill, not tough enough here at the White House.
Not tough enough? Oh, this White House is weird, man. How are you going to get rid of the kids in cages woman for being too nice? And here's the thing. It was no secret to Secretary Nielsen that Trump wanted her to be tougher on migrants, right? He made that very clear to her and everyone else within shouting distance.
For months, President Trump has been openly berating Secretary Nielsen at cabinet meetings, pushing her to take more and more drastic measures to stop the flow of migrants at the southern border.
According to the New York Times, the president called Ms. Nielsen at home early in the mornings to demand that she take action to stop migrants from entering the country, including doing things that were clearly illegal, such as blocking all migrants from seeking asylum.
Wow. Trump would call her early in the morning just to yell about the border? You know how horrible that must have been? Think about it. We're all traumatized by Trump's tweets at 5 a.m. Now imagine if the tweets came into your bedroom every morning and were like, hey, caravans of rapists, weak Democrats, love crime, and by the way, Kofifi.